You know, I have a motto that says, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. That means, that doesn't mean I have never been defeated. But you see, we think if you don't come in first, that the other is loses. But you don't lose when you don't come in first. The only time you lose is when you quit. There's a saying that says, quitters never win and winners never quit. I want to talk tonight to you just about some things. You know, you find in the world we're living in today that many people just give up. They give up on life. They give up on God. They give up on everything. You know, they point their finger and say, well, if it wasn't for my upbringing, I never had a chance. Some others say, well, it's the environment. I'm just a product of my environment. Some of them blame the economy. Some people just sit on the sidelines and won't even get in the game. Some people end up blaming other people for their mistakes. But I see, you know, that's just sort of a general thing that I've looked at. But I see over in the Christian world, in the churchdom, I see people that are just sitting down and quitting. They give up on receiving the blessings of God. They give up on healing. They give up on staying faithful. They give up on their believing God to maintain their financial stability. So, and somebody said, well, who are you talking to? I'm talking to everybody. You know, sometimes when we come to church, if we're not careful, we think it's for the other person. Tonight is for everybody, I believe. I want you to focus and forget about everything else and focus on the Word of God tonight. Receiving what the Word says tonight may save your life, may save a marriage, may save a family, may save a job, may save your business. I don't know. I know that what I'm going to talk about tonight will determine your eternal destiny. Go to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. First Timothy 6:11. 6:11. But thou, O man of God, or we could say person, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, love, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, I want you to notice three words: flee, follow, and fight. Say it with me: flee, follow, fight. Flee means to run from. Actually, the definition is run from is in terror. Follow, we all know what that means. As kids, we fade follow the leader. I did anyway. Maybe y'all didn't have that game where y'all come from. And then fight, we all understand what fight is. Actually, the Christian life is a combination of fleeing, following, and fighting. But we got to learn when to flee, when to follow, and when to fight. You know, y'all going to laugh at me, but there's an old line in one of Kenny Rogers' old songs that says, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. In other words, you know when to stay and when to let go. We've got to learn what to flee from, what to follow after and what to fight for. The success, actually, of your Christian life depends on those three things, what you do with those three things. Failing to do these will cause you to lose battles that you encounter. So I want to talk about these for just a minute. Flee, follow, and fight. We have to flee the things that the enemy brings into our paths. I'm going to read a scripture in 1 Timothy 6:9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snares, and into many foolishness and hurtful lusts, which drawn men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many arrows. Actually, another translation says, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation, are caught in the trap of you know, many foolish and harmless desires. They're pulled down into destruction. For the love of money is a source of all kinds of evil. Now, there's nothing wrong with money, and there's nothing wrong with prosperity. But in recent years, I've seen too many people that are more involved with getting prosperity than they are obeying the Word of God. Everything hinges on prosperity. I've even seen, and I don't mean this wrongly, but I've even seen people say, they give a testimony because they give a certain amount of money, they got healed. Giving the amount of money didn't have anything to do with them getting healed. And I get a little disgusted at some of these telethons on Christian television that implicates that, and some even say it. Healing is free. Now let me go back and say, probably the reason they got healed is because they released their faith when they gave the offering. That's the key, not the offering. The key was the releasing of their faith. Come on now. Come on. Don't misunderstand me. I'm for prosperity and all that God has promised in the Bible. But there are too many people that are chasing after prosperity. I get a little disgusted, and I get flack for this, but I don't care. I'm big and strong. I can handle it. But I am tired of people getting up and doing, taking up offering, and they do use scripture and pull it plumb out of context to make it apply to offering. I got anybody here that agrees with me? Have you ever noticed when I take an offering here, or one of my, either Pastor Craig, Pastor Denise, or Pastor Bill or Tad, either one of them, they take an offering, you notice none of us do an offering. We just tell you about the offering and what it's going for, and praise the Lord. I guess I learned that. I guess Pastor Denise and Pastor Craig and myself all learned it from their grandfather, my father. He was very strong on that, because you get people going down the wrong way. You get them looking more at and chasing prosperity than chasing the things of God. And actually, if you want to say it correctly, prosperity is a byproduct of obeying God's word. And I want to say another thing here. Prosperity doesn't always have to do with money. There's a lot of other things that you could be prosperous in and doesn't have to do with money. Like getting a good deal on something. There's many different ways. If you follow the Word of God and trust Him, prosperity will come. You know, we can't, let me go on about that. I'm talking about fleeing some things now. We can't get caught up in some things. We got to flee from some things. You can't play around with the things of the enemy and expect to get blessings. Proverbs 4:14 says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the path of evil or the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall." The Message Bible says it like this. Don't take wicked bypasses. Don't so much as set a foot on that road. Stay clear of it. Give it a wide berth. Make a detour. Be on your way. Evil people are restless unless they're making trouble. They can't get a good night's sleep unless they've made life miserable for somebody else. I like this. Don't take a wicked bypass. Don't set your foot on that road. You know, you can't play around with the things of the enemy. You can't go to some of the devil's places. Chances are it'll trigger fleshly desires. If you hang out with the devil's crowd, chances are you'll end up doing what they're doing. It says, according to what Proverbs said, don't even get on that road. Don't even go there. You know, if you watch the wrong thing on television or internet, chances are you'll end up getting caught in that trap. The enemy is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we need to be smart enough not even go around those places. We need to be smart enough to understand some things and leave some stuff alone. I don't care if prophet so-and-so said it. Or apostle so-and-so. If you ever notice, I never use any titles. Now, people call me stuff. I never told anybody to call me anything. But I guess I get this from my dad. He was, you know, a lot of other people called him stuff, but he never called himself any of the things that they called. People called him prophet. He never called himself a prophet. He never called himself an apostle. Hello? Any of you, have you ever heard him get up here and call himself Prophet Kenneth Hagin? Now, other people have, but he didn't. He tells the story. I was a little kid when it happened. There, downtown Dallas, they used to wear now they stand whole signs, but we call them sideboards. They had a sign in the front and the back, and they hung them, and it hung over their shoulders. Anybody ever see that? And this guy, he was out on the street corner preaching, and on this sign, it had apostle, and the A was real big, prophet, and the P was real big, and then evangelist, and the E was real big. So from a distance, all you could see is APE. And my dad said, that's probably what he is. But what I'm trying to say, there are things we need to flee. If you look in the middle of the 16th chapter of Romans, many people sort of skip over it because Paul's given all these salutations and greetings. And right in the middle down there, about the 16th verse, I think it is, he starts talking about those that are causing divisions and teaching the wrong thing. He says, mark them and don't have anything to do with them. Come on now, don't look at me like that. It's what Paul said. I didn't say it. Go read it. I just used this in one of my teaching classes. I've noticed some of the stuff I've been teaching, I've been coming and bringing it back here and teaching it here too. But you see, just because Brother so-and-so said it that has some kind of title is nothing make it so. And we need to learn we need to learn what to flee from? What? Come on now, did you get it? You know, we need to learn when to run from something, when to follow something, when to fight, what to flee from, what to follow after, and what not, and what to fight for. We need to realize that I don't care who said it or what. There's some things you just need to stay away from. I'm going to say something else here. Probably going to get myself in trouble, but I don't care. There are a lot of people that have a lot of good teaching in one area, but they get off course in some other stuff so badly that you can't afford to recommend the good stuff because a lot of people don't understand how to eat the straw and leave the sticks, you eat the hay and leave the sticks. If you've ever been on a farm or in a barnyard, I don't know what they do with this new hay, but when they did it in the square, the rectangles with the baling wire, you take that and you break it open and put it in the barnyard. The cows will come up and they'll eat, and you'll have to go out there and rake up glass and sticks and rocks and everything else that got caught up in that bale. They are smart enough not to even touch that stuff. But Christians are not that smart. Just because somebody's got a special name, they swallow everything they say, hook, line, and sinker. Now back in the 80s, I guess it was, there was some ministers, and they had some good teaching in one area, but they all got together and they got into shepherdship. And it caused a tremendous, tremendous and horrendous effect in a lot of people's lives. It shipwrecked a lot of people. One of those guys had some tremendous teaching on prayer, but you couldn't afford to say anything about it because if you did, they'd go read the other stuff and they'd get hooked on that and get messed up. Be careful of what you read and who you read after and who you listen to. Come on now. On Wednesday night, I just talked to the flock, you know, sort of like one of the President Roosevelt had the fireside chats when I was a kid. I just like to talk to you and try to help you. This is stuff that I learned from most of what I talk about when I'm talking about stuff like this. I learned it from my dad and my father-in-law. That's the two men's shoulders that I stand on top of. Two of the greatest ministers that ever walked on the face of the earth. V.E. Tipton, my father-in-law, and Kenneth E. Hagin, my father. And most everything that I teach, I learn from them. You know, I'm not trying to get anybody upset, but I'm trying to get you to realize there are some things you need to flee from. The enemy has a way of flavoring everything up, making it look good, smell good, and taste good, but in the end, it's death. Come on now. All right, I'm losing you, so I better go on. Let me understand what I'm trying to say to you. Okay, let's go to that next one. We need to follow after. So it said follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Follow after right standing with God. Don't let anything get you out of that. Follow after godliness. Stay as far away from ungodliness as possible. It said, don't even go to that. Remember I read that in the message? Don't even get on that road. My dad used to tell me, his son, he'd say to me when I was growing up, he said, son, I know you probably, it wouldn't bother you, but don't go anywhere that there it could be a temptation. Don't put yourself in that position. And there have been some times that I've had to just been called yelling and everything else because I turned away. I said, I ain't going there. I've told you that. Bunch of the guys was, when I was growing up, our town, we had a square, town square. You could drive around the square. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we had Lindy's number one out here and Lindy's number two out here on the other side of town, and we'd just drive back and forth, and we'd just cruise back and forth, stop up there at the square and stop and talk. And so, you know, a bunch of us, we'd all stopped up there and we were talking, and a bunch of these guys said, hey, let's go over to this town. And we all said, okay, let's go. So we all jumped in another guy's car, and we're about 5 miles out of town. They're talking about what all he's going to do, and I said, stop the car. I want out. I ain't going. They call me yelling and everything. I said, you can call me everything you want to, but I'm not going. You guys can go if you want to. So they finally stopped. I grabbed the driver and got hold of his arm and told him he's going to stop the car. I was going to break his arm. But anyway, I got out. I'm on the road. I'm walking back, and one of my other buddies, he said, hey, he stopped me. He said, hey, what are you doing? And I said, well, they're going over such and such a town. And I said, they're all going to get in trouble. You mark my word. I told him what they said. He said, yeah, they will. I said, I told him I wasn't going. And sure enough, they all got put in jail. Their parents had to go get them and everything else. Now, I got called yellow. I got called everything under the sun. But I wasn't going to go down that road. I wasn't going to get involved. Now, you may have never been in a place like that. But you see, you can't follow ungodliness and expect godliness. You can't be around it. Have you ever noticed what you hang around is what you usually start becoming? That's why I tell people all the time, hang around with faith people. Don't hang around with somebody that's always talking doubt and unbelief. You ever been seen some people, every time you see them, all they were negative. Everything they talked about was negative. And after you left, you felt bad. Anybody? I've been there. I don't know. Maybe you never have. I don't know. Follow after righteousness. Right, that simply means right standing with God. Faith, love, patience. Uh-oh. Meekness. Follow after love. Be quick to forgive and forget. If you really forgive somebody, you forget them. You forget it. You know, people come up to me all the time and say, I want you to forgive me. And I said, for what? Well, don't you remember? I said such and such. I said, no. And they start telling me about it, and it seemed like I sort of remember. I say, yeah, I sort of remember that. I forgive you a long time ago when you did it. I don't remember that. Patience is something that some Christians don't know how to walk in. Do you understand that there's a time that you have to exercise patience from the time you start believing God for this promise to come to pass and when it actually comes to pass in your life? Anybody ever realize that happens? That's where you see, if you're not careful, if you're not patient, the devil will come in and say, hey, it ain't going to happen this time, blah, 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 blah. You got to just be patient and say, hey, I know what the word says. I'm not going to, I'm not even going to touch that in thought life. If you ever heard my dad preach and teach and read any of it, he talked about don't touch some things. You don't even touch it in thought life. Anybody ever heard him teach that? Yeah. Meekness. If you don't follow hard after God, the devil will catch up with you. Somebody said, the devil can outrun a half-hearted Christian who keeps looking back. I don't know who said that. Pay more attention to godly things than you do to the enemy. I've had people come and they tell me all the bad things. Hey, don't pay attention to them. Pay attention to the godly things. Make sure God's plan and promises are more important than anything else in your life. You know, make God's word the priority. Make God's plans and purposes priority in your life. When you make God's word a priority in your life, you'll find out that God will make it a priority to take care of you. I'm going to read that again. That's good. Make God's word a priority in your life, and you'll find out that God makes it a priority to take care of you. 1966, I just got married December 30th, 1965. About the second week of January of 1966, I just got married. I didn't have a job. Actually, I was trying to get started again preaching because I've been in the Army for 3 years. And I get a call one day from the State Department. Wanted me to go to work for them because what I did in the Army, I had to, in Taiwan, I did a lot of stuff with the U.S. Embassy there. And they knew me, and they knew what I had, all the clearances and everything. And they offered me a really lucrative job. Now, I didn't have no job. I didn't have no money. Lynette was working at her job. I'm trying to get a preaching commitment every once in a while. I was painting some houses and anything else I could find to do to make a dollar. And back in 66, I think this is right. The average salary was between $7,000 and $10,000 annually a year. And they offered me a job at 16. And I was so excited. Lynette came home and from the work that day, and I told her about it, and she looked at me and she said, I married a preacher and I'm going to live with a preacher. Spun on her heel, walked out the door, got in the car and left. We only had one car. Got in the car and left. And I was standing there and you know, with my mouth hanging open, and all of a sudden, but it that woke me up, and I began to realize, hey, wait a minute. I can't go down that road. I can't even think about that. I mean, they told me all of the perks that went with that job and all of that sort of thing, and where I could end up. And I had to put that plumb out of my mind. Because if I would have kept it in my mind, kept thinking about it, it would have led me away. Sometimes you have to follow the right thing. Follow the plan of God for your life. You have to choose to disregard some things and follow the things of God. Now, that was hard to do. I have to admit, it was hard to do. But I knew in here that if I went that direction, it was going to be wrong. Don't look at me like that. Some of you, you know, like I said, some of you need to listen to this. Because the enemy is always offering things. He's always giving another plan to follow. Why? Because he wants to get you off of the right plan. Then let's real quick, I only got 5 minutes. Fight to maintain the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, wherein they're also called and has professed a good profession before men. I've been reading from the, most of them from the King James. I read one scripture from the New. See, the only fight we're to fight is the fight of faith. I've heard people say, boy, I've been fighting the devil all day long. I ask them, what are you fighting him for? He's already been defeated. You know, we don't need to fight the circumstances. All we need to do is do what the Bible says, believe and speak. That's the kind of fight we're fighting. You know, believe what the Word of God says. Use the name of Jesus. Realize the greater one lives on the inside of you. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Fight to declare the Word of God. That's the fight we need to fight. Realize that we always triumphed in Christ Jesus. Realize that by His stripes we're healed. God supplies our needs. Fight to declare all of this. There will be people trying to quiet you. The enemy will tell you something, but you got to fight to make all this come to, out of your mouth. Too many people are say know the word, but they're not speaking the word. You got to speak the word. It says, speak to the mountain. Don't pray about it. And I'm not against prayer. I love prayer. But speak to the mountain, it said. I say it like this. Don't ever face the enemy with your mouth shut. The enemy, Goliath, was talking to David, and David kept going toward him. And then when the giant shut up, David started talking. And he told him what he charged him. See, too many people are standing back and, hey, whoever has the offense has the advantage. If you're in the army, you've been taught that. Maintain and an attitude or offense. If you're on the defense, you're fighting just to keep alive. If you're on the offense, you're fighting to defeat the enemy. Hello? Stay on the offense. Keep speaking the word. People always talk about, oh, I'm just battling. Why are you battling? The Lord already defeated him. No use you to battle. Why don't you rest in your victory? You know? Some people talk about, I'm just a nothing. No. You remember President Dwight Eisenhower, he was president back in the 50s when I was in high school. What counts is not necessarily the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. You know, you have more going for you than the devil has. You know, I just always have believed in the natural that there wasn't anything I can't do. And now I come over and put it with the Word of God, and I got the spirit, I got the natural and the spirit working together, and man, it's making an explosive force for God. But remember, there's some things you need to flee from. I don't care how good they look. I don't care how good it smells. I don't care what it is. You need to you need to flee from it. There's some things you need to follow after, and there's some things that you need to fight for and not against. Hello. See, you got to know when to run from something, when to follow after something, when to stand and fight. And you got to know what to flee from and what to follow after and what to fight for. I know this hadn't been much of a organized, homiletically correct sermon, but they've been a lot of good material. And I trust that it's helped somebody tonight. You may find yourself in some days coming up, you may need to turn and flee. Say, I ain't going there. I don't want to walk that road. Heavenly Father, help us all to realize that there's some things that we need to flee from. There's some things we need to follow after. And there's some things we need to fight for. Father, I pray that you'd minister to every heart in this place tonight. May the word of God that has come forth, I know everybody didn't need it all, but somebody needed part of it. May they take that and change their lives. May they hide it in their hearts so that when they face some issues, they will know exactly what to do because they heard it tonight from your word. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you happen to be in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is and you need to rededicate your life, the ladies over here and the men are over here as we dismiss. If you'll come down here, they'll pray with you. And you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason, for anything, you come to the front, they'll pray with you about that. Go find the first-time guest and let's get them that special gift. We're glad you're with us tonight. And if you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Come on and be with us. Now, Brother Bill, Pastor Bill was talking about the prayer groups. And somebody said, well, why do you have to have curriculum and go through the curriculum to get in a prayer group? Well, why do you have to learn the rules of a game so you can play the game properly? There are rules concerning prayer, and there are certain rules for certain different types of prayer. If you ever studied any of my dad's books on prayer, he talks about this. That's why we have this little short course, so that whenever we get in those prayer groups and there's certain things to pray about, there's certain ways to pray about certain things. Hello, anybody understand what I'm talking about? So if you're interested in getting a part of, and prayer is one of the most important things, it is the power plant of the church. It's what makes our church go. So get involved. I know that a large percentage of our church is involved in some type of a prayer group. We have something called Revive on what? When's that on, Denise? Wednesday at 11:30. It's actually, we started with the students, but we invite everybody that wants to come. It's on Wednesdays at 11:30 and 1278, and there in SDC. If you are free at that time, you're welcome to come and join them in Revive. It's for 1 hour. And they've been having some tremendous stuff going. Any of you go to Revive? Yeah, it's been really good, hasn't it? It's been. So that's another part. Part of what they do there is pray. And part of what they, for part of the time is what they do is prayer time. Everybody's saying, please, Sunday morning right here, 9 o'clock is School of the Bible. That's a place in this church where you can go in a small group, according to your age and marital status. And we got different classes you can go to. And then at 10 o'clock, we have our regular morning service here. Okay? If you need prayer for any reason, salvation, rededication, Holy Spirit, You want somebody to pray with you about anything, come to the front right now, shake hands with somebody and say, I've learned how I'm gonna flee and I'm gonna follow and I'm gonna fight for the right things. See you. Bye.